everybody, and welcome to the SAP Learning Insights podcast. I'm your host, David Chaviano, today with Steve Lauthaus from the Nottingham University Business School to talk about choosing a career in SAP while you're at university. Why should you? How do you do it? And what is the growth potential? Welcome to the podcast, Steve.
Thank you, David. It's great to be here. Thank you.
All right. So with the start of every podcast, we always want to get our hero's origin story. Who are you? Where are you from? What is your educational background? And what's your job?
My background, back in the day, I started in pharmacy and I ran a unit that prepared cancer treatment and neonatal feeds. And doctors used to write prescriptions by hand. And I realized that that wasn't a particularly good way of doing things. So I went off and I learned software development and computer programming. And I wrote software that prescribed cancer treatment and made things a lot easier. And that was my springboard into university. And I did my master's degree in SAP consultancy. And that threw me into the SAP world. And I stayed teaching. So I've taught SAP for about 14 years. Set up a number of centers of excellence. And I've always been focused on kind of building what I call exit pipelines. So getting students in front of SAP, getting them skilled up on SAP, but then actually building the pipelines out into industry. Because there is a bit of a disconnect there. And it's something that I'm quite passionate about. I've built up quite a nice global reputation about it. At the minute, for the last 3-4 years, I've been working with Nottingham University. I'm one of their professors of practice in the business school. And it's around building those links, embedding SAP technology into courses, getting the students that awareness and that skill set, and then building out the exit pipelines into the partners and the customers so that they have access to that resource.
Excellent. That's quite the journey you took. So if we roll back a little bit back to your pharmacy days, it sounded like you were sort of on the road to like being a tech bro billionaire with having founded a product that doctors can use to prescribe medication. What sent you into academia from there? Why didn't you continue pursuing creating software solutions for problems that you see in life?
Because I could make a bigger difference in university than I could in healthcare. Mm-hmm. To be blunt, the software product, okay, fine. It makes a difference to the lives of the cancer patients and the neonates. Brilliant, fantastic. But that's quite a small kind of niche. Whereas if I can get into university, if I can get into the SAP world, I can start to make a global difference. And I can start to kind of push my ideas and ways of thinking out into academia, because I'm not a research focused academic. Mm-hmm. I'm a teaching focused academic. I'm focused on students and their opportunities. So things which not speaking ill of my academic colleagues, but things which are sensible to me, which in some ways replicate the way that business works, are not necessarily kind of first point of thought for a research focused academic. So kind of introducing these ideas enriches the learn, really. So it's been an interesting journey.
It certainly sounds like it. And when we first spoke, you did share a very passionate point of view regarding the career choices of your students, especially the ones who are in finance. Can you share that with the audience?
I think, to be fair, I was trying to remember what that passionate point of view was. For me, it's just common sense in the sense that if you're a finance student, why would you not want experience or knowledge of the computer platform that the majority of business is using, that you will use when you go out of university and you go into industry? And I think as universities and colleges, if we don't give students these opportunities, if we don't embed industry platforms into our courses and give students that exposure, to be blunt, we're failing the students because we're not equipping them with the skills that they need in the modern workplace. Finance, it's core for business. It's the first functional area that gets taken across when companies take on board SAP or they change and upgrade their platform. So the opportunities within the finance world, within that kind of SAP ecosphere, are absolutely huge. And finance is finance is finance. I don't care whether you're in China, you're in India, you're in the US, you're in Germany, you're in Liechtenstein. A financial process is a financial process is a financial process. So it's a global career. Why would you not do that? Why would you want to go and get a job where you were a lead accountant in a small company, in a small town in the north of England, and you're going to spend the rest of your... No! Get into technology. Go and see the world. Travel. experience, get these interesting problems to solve, because that's what makes life interesting. Life is experience, and you need to kind of get out and embrace them. And I think SAP is a really nice way to do that. There aren't many careers where you can sit there and say, actually, this is truly global. I can go anywhere in the world and do this.
Yeah, and I think a lot of students or young people have that sort of drive to do it.
Mm.
But there's only a few, I guess, limited options that are overexposed maybe. People like to do Peace Corps or join the military, that sort of thing. And they sort of overlook some of the software that's underlying so much business that's running in the world. And this could be sort of like a hidden ticket to being able to see a lot more of the world, a lot more of business than one would normally do through an average career.
Definitely.
So specifically about finance, you already touched on this, the specific combination of financials, accounting skills, controlling, that sort of thing, together with SAP, why is that so lucrative?
I think there are a few reasons. Finance is core to a business, and that may seem like an obvious thing to say, but if you're an accountant, if you're the finance director, you want to know the financial position of your company 24/7. You want to know your cash flow 24/7. So finance is really, really core to a business. So if you have that financial knowledge and those SAP skills, you're appealing to the core of business, which is common throughout every single industry, every single business. So it's a very common in-demand skill set that is applicable across the world. A lot of the technological innovations from SAP target that financial function. HANA with its real-time reporting, the kind of first area that SAP touched on, because it made business sense to do so, was the financial functions. Can we speed up those financial functions? Can we give the accountants insight into that cash flow 24/7? So there's a driver from SAP within that financial function. It's quite a specialized skill set, is finance and accounting, especially if you go on to be a chartered accountant or whatever the kind of global equivalents are. That's quite a specialist niche skill set. So in terms of being able to then fulfill those roles, only specialized people can fulfill those roles. So you're eliminating a lot of applicants purely on the basis that actually we don't have financial understanding, we don't have financial knowledge. So there's a lot of roles which only you can go for, which makes that quite an appealing opportunity. So you're getting a lot of bang for the buck, a lot of return for your investment, as it were.
Could we maybe define the exact areas of study within the academic sector that we're referring to? So we're talking about finance. So what's the name of the study areas a student would particularly see, for example, if they're thinking of joining university and they like this idea of finance? What are they looking for on the university program to study? Is it just called accounting, or is it called finance something? What are the general terms that they should look for?
Universities are kind of famous for branding a common thing in their own language. But I think you need to be looking at things like finance and accounting, management accounting, accountancy core. We have things like industrial economics, and they're all touching on that kind of financial/economic functionality, really.
Okay. Do you think somebody who maybe doesn't have that financial background or who's not classically trained could potentially get upskilled enough via web resources on the principles of accounting in order to, I guess, upskill to an SAP finance career?
Yes, but do you know what, David? I'm gonna kind of contradict you in some ways and come at it from another angle, which is there's a whole smorgasbord of functional areas within SAP that are non-financial. So just because you're a student who's on a course which isn't financial doesn't mean to say that you cannot get into the SAP world. You can and you should, especially given the kind of recruitment situation and the staffing situation at the minute. So on the one hand, yes, you can get upskilled. There are ways to get upskilled, whether that's going through a kind of university degree or a college course around accountancy and bookkeeping. There are the kind of online courses within the UK, which are run by the professional accounting bodies. I presume it's the same in America. So you can embrace those courses. But also, if you're coming from an engineering background, if you're coming from a pharmaceutical background, a medical background, an aircraft, Brilliant. Look at SAP, because there is a functional area, there is a line of business there for you, and companies will snap your hand off for having that kind of awareness and that knowledge of the technology platform that they and their customers are using.
All right, very cool. So who's hiring? Like, who are these people that are searching for SAP talent? Or who?
The kind of the unhelpful answer to that question is just everybody. But I think if we kind of break it down, and maybe it touches on a few other things. So technology generally, at the minute, AI is this massive thing that nobody can ignore. And AI is now built into SAP. And I know that one of the early adopters of SAP was a supermarket in Germany, and they used the AI jewel within the S4 platform on the supply chain. And it saved them, I think it's about 30% of their supply chain cost. Now, that's a massive amount of money. So you can envisage that when other companies see that not only does the SAP platform make their business smoother and easier to run, but when you put AI on top of that, you can make massive cost savings, you can free staff up to focus on the important things, then all of a sudden, the opportunity for students is absolutely huge, both in terms of the partners that are helping customers move on to these platforms and embrace AI and this change in working, but also from the customer's point of view, they need the staff who have the understanding of SAP to use it on a day-to-day basis, but also have that technological vision and kind of free thinking that the younger people, the students have, to be able to sit there and say, well, actually, we could apply AI in this direction or that direction. I read a case study from an energy manufacturer in the UK who uses fields full of solar panels, and they built out technology on BTP, Business Technology Platform, and they now use a drone to fly over the solar panels, identify hotspots, trigger a work order in the SAP system to send an engineer there. Somebody had to come up with that idea. Somebody who had unconstrained, out-of-the-box thinking had to sit down and go, well, hang on a minute, why are we walking around this field? No, let's just get a drone and fly it over. It's the young thinkers that's going to come out with these ideas that move technology forwards. Look at OpenAI. Look at Sam Altman. This is not an old guy. This is a young guy with a young guy's head on. The majority of the OpenAI staff, the kind of the engineers, the AI, they're all young people. They've got this free thinking. I'm not saying that the older generation is constraining us, but the older generation is moving towards retirement. There is a massive skills gap as that skill set disappears out of the workforce. So there's a massive opportunity for students to get in there at a point in time where technology is changing the way business works. And there is massive demand for a skill set and an awareness of the major business technology platform. Why would you? I appreciate it's a bit of a kind of blasé statement, but in my honest personal opinion, as a business, you get to a certain size, you have to use SAP. I appreciate there are other platforms out that genuinely do. But in my experience, you get to a certain size, you haven't really got a choice. You're going to use SAP because you need the functionality, you need the features, you need the innovation. So as a student, if you buy into that, if you get that awareness, you're laughing. Why would you not have awareness of the world's third biggest IT company? Microsoft, Apple, SAP.
All right.
Sorry.
No worries. I love the energy. You're getting me amped up. So if anybody listening out there who's first starting and who may be equivalently excited about this prospect, what would be your suggestion on how they would get started on starting their career at SAP? What's the first step?
My suggestion in some ways is a little off the wall, as you'd probably expect. So my suggestion, first of all, is to go to two places. Go to, I think it's partners.sap.com, and go to one of the major user groups, whether that's the American user group, the ASUG, or the UK, or the German user group, and just look, see which companies are using SAP, or rather, see the number of companies that are using SAP, and in some ways kind of validate your own thinking around, actually, this is a world that I want to get into. And I didn't realize that all these companies used it. I didn't realize that all these partners used it. I didn't realize there were these functional opportunities within SAP. There were these lines of business that I could move into. So get comfortable and get an awareness of who's using SAP, which companies are using it, and kind of things that they're doing with it. Read some of the case studies. Mm-hmm. From that, dive into learning.sap.com, because there are about 170 courses on learning.sap.com. The courses are free. The learning materials there. You can get access to trial systems if you need to. You can then go on and get certified. But that learning is nicely presented. It's a nice way to get up to speed with this technology and embrace those skill sets. I would genuinely advise people to work through the learning material. If you apply for a job and say to a company, yes, I've done onboarding with S4HANA and Activate, and you haven't really, you've just scanned the learning material, that'll come out very, very quickly in the interview. Whereas if you take the time to go through the learning material and take it on board and work through it, you're upskilling yourself, and that comes through in the way that you talk and the way you answer questions and the language you use. So it's quite clear that you've gone through that learning material and you've got that knowledge. The other thing to look at is OpenSAP. OpenSAP, the courses are quite short and they're quite deep dive and specialist, but OpenSAP is really useful because it shows you the kind of areas that SAP values and is focusing on and the kind of areas that customers are looking to. If you looked at OpenSAP now, you'd see there's a lot on AI, obviously, but there's also a lot on sustainability and the circular economy. So that's clearly quite important. So just having that awareness as well is very useful. Use the blog. Use the SAP community blog. Use LinkedIn. Why are you, as a student, why are you not on there? Why are you not posting? Use learning.sap.com. Start your course and then post on the community website, on LinkedIn, that you're doing this course, that you've done this particular module. What was interesting about that particular module on supply chain were the questions that came up in your head that you can ask on the community forum on LinkedIn. In doing that, you're demonstrating to employers, yeah, I'm doing this course. I'm having this interest. I'm asking these questions. I'm engaged with the community. And because you're doing it constantly whilst you're working your way through that learning material, it might take you, I don't know, a month, say, to go through the learning material for a particular course. That's a month of you posting to LinkedIn and showing employers that you're here, you've got this skill set, you're taking it on board, you're interested, you're desirous of getting into that world. That means you're a safe hire. As an employer, I want to hire somebody who's interested. I don't want to hire an accountant just for the sake of hiring an accountant. I want an accountant who's interested in technology, who understands the platform that my company uses to record its accounts, that has that little bit of awareness. Mm-hmm. I've had situations, genuinely had situations, where students have used S4 in a module for 6 or 8 weeks. And then gone to job interviews, and they've succeeded in getting the role. And these particular ones were with a government. And when the government offered them the role, the government specifically called out that they'd used S4HANA in their coursework. So you as a student going through LSC is one thing. Brilliant, fine. But if you don't tell people that what you're doing, then you're missing a trick. So use the community website. Use LinkedIn. Tell people that you're doing these things. So it's not just about embracing the learning on LSC. It's not just about identifying companies that use SAP and what products they're using. It's also about telling the world that this is what you're doing. It's also about making yourself an easy hire.
Yeah, that's a great point. I had to call out many beginners as being painfully shy on SAP community because they're often exposed to a lot of experts and they don't want to, like, guess, be seen asking a stupid question and stuff like that. And I think that's probably a big disadvantage for a lot of new people who would otherwise be great hires that just don't want to throw themselves out there and ask the questions, make the comments, and write the blogs about their experiences. And if I could shamelessly plug the beginner corner on the SAP community, that's one place you can start talking to me directly and ask any questions and get started, basically. So you mentioned learning.scb.com, following a learning journey. A lot of these learning journeys lead to certifications. How important would you say a certification is for a newcomer from your point of view?
Certifications are really, really useful, partly because from a business point of view, you're a de-risked hire, as we call it. You've embraced the technology. You have an understanding of the platform that we use. You understand that sometimes it's complicated and it works a certain way, but you've got that understanding. A friend of mine works for Ernst & Young, and everybody on the Ernst & Young graduate program rotates through the SAP team as part of their kind of induction, but very few of them stay because they all want to go into accountancy. So if you can demonstrate that you have this learning, you have this certification, you're demonstrating an interest and a desire to stay in that world and use that technology, you're a much safer bet for a company to hire and invest in. From your own point of view, from a student point of view, I challenge my students with kind of two questions. How are you any different? And kind of what are you doing to make yourself easy to hire? And kind of the example that I use is kind of India, where there's just a billion people in India, forgive my figures. But if you're in the top 1%, there's another million people exactly like you.
Yeah.
Everybody that goes into university, when you leave for university, you turn around at your mom and you're like, yeah, I work hard, mom. Don't worry. Of course, I'm going to get a first class honors. Of course, I'm going to get the best mark that I possibly can. Okay, well, there are 1,000 students each year in my university. So if you all walk out with a first class honors, with the best mark that you possibly can, there are 1,000 students exactly like you, all applying for the same job. So how are you any different? And what are you doing to make yourself easy to hire? We look at the kind of major retailing companies, and they have these functionalities where I can buy a product just with kind of one swipe. And I've purchased that product, it's in my basket, it's been paid for, and it's coming tomorrow. And the technology companies have embraced this to encourage us to buy. They've made it easy to buy. Okay, well, what have you done to make yourself easy to hire? Well, do you know what? I've done an SAP certification on finance. Brilliant! Do you know what? As a company, we use SAP to manage our finances. You're an easy hire, because you've already got that knowledge. You can just come in, sit down. I don't really have to think about whether I'm going to hire you or not, because you've just demonstrated to me that you're different from everybody else and you're an easy hire. Fine, come on in. I'll have you.
Awesome. And something I often say, maybe you can sanity check, maybe I'm talking nonsense, but is that the certification topic that you certify in, even if it's not maybe exact match to what you're applying to for the job, it's still sending a signal to the employer that you're serious about learning, you're serious about the subject matter. So even if you're certified in something that the employer may not necessarily be running, it's still going to be a nice differentiator on your resume, because the certifications generally are not easy to achieve.
I agree. I massively agree. And I would also kind of go a stage further and say that SAP, there's a commonality amongst around the platform. There's a commonality of interface. There's a commonality of the way the software works. So say for the sake of argument, you've done your SAP certification in SuccessFactors and you're applying for a role which is supply chain management. And I know that's a bit weird, but there's going to be commonality around how the supply chain platform works and how SuccessFactors works and how it looks and what the interface is doing. You've also demonstrated that you are capable of studying at that level. LSC, it's online learning. Yes, it's rich and it's video and there's materials there and there's reading materials and there's slides, but it's online learning. And if you're used to being taught in a face-to-face manner, that we all are because we all come from an educational background that's based in classrooms with teachers, being able to demonstrate that you can embrace that way of learning and succeed, that's really important as well.
All right. Perfect. And for anybody wondering, just to reinforce, LSC is referring to learning.sap.com. So go ahead and put in your browsers and check it out if anybody missed it.
That's another reason for actually working with the learning.sap.com courses. SAP is very acronym-based and abbreviated, and we all talk about SCM and MDM and LSC. So in some ways, you need to learn acronyms.
All right. So I think you've made an excellent case for young folks and for new career starters of any age. Take a look at SAP, and we give some pretty good instructions on how to get started, where to go, etc. There's a bit of a specter on the horizon, though, that I think might be concerning people who are first starting or considering going into tech is large language models and artificial intelligence and the impact on the job market. Some people may be thinking it's not even worth going into it because it's all going to be automated anyway. What do you see the impact of this technology being on the job market for the next, I guess, short and midterm timeframes?
I see two kind of opportunities, and both of which I think are awesome. From a learning point of view, if I can kind of dive back to that side of things, AI, large language models, it changes the way that we teach. One of the battles I had in universities when the AI came out and everybody panicked about students plagiarizing and getting the AI to do the work, everybody started to shift back to an exam-based assessment model. But actually, it's really easy to build industrial technology platforms into courses and build out assessment in there. So I have students that have to run a procurement process in Business by Design and create customers and set up financial accounts. AI can't replicate that. The student has to do that. So there's an opportunity from an education point of view to actually embed core technology skills within courses. From a career perspective, I think now is genuinely an absolutely awesome time to be getting into technology, and the AI language models are the driver of that. And I think the other kind of hurdle coming over the hill, David, is the change in the license model for S4. SAP would like to move its customers into the cloud. That's where the advantage is. SAP said that game-changing AI will exist in the cloud. Everyday AI will exist on-premise. We'd like you to move into the cloud. Okay, awesome. So you have all these companies now that are trying to move their systems into the cloud because they see a German supermarket switching on AI, making a 30% cost saving across their supply chain. I want some of that. I want to be doing that. I want to use drones and these kind of things. So they're moving into the cloud. There isn't the consulting base to move those clients into the cloud. Mm-hmm. So all of the partners are screaming for that kind of skill set. There's a university we went to, the UK user group. Every single partner, every single business that we were talking to, they're screaming for that S4 skill set to help them move companies across into the cloud. All of the development, all of the innovation, all of the interesting things are going to be done in the cloud. So if you look in a kind of like 10-year horizon, is AI going to obliterate jobs? No. If anything, there are going to be far more jobs as companies seek to embrace this technology and change the way that they work and then take advantage of that. If I've got AI that runs my supply chain, brilliant, fair enough, AI runs my supply chain. But I still need to go and have a conversation with David and build up the relationship between the supplier and the customer to get the best deal, to get the best product, to get the best quality product that I possibly can. So there's still that human interaction that's needed. But right now, it's just an amazing opportunity to get into this field.
All right. And I could definitely reiterate the, I guess, the consultant role there and helping customers move from their on-prem systems to the cloud. I think there's a lot of help that's needed in that particular area.
It's not a straight shift. You can't just pick up and then put it in the cloud because technology's moved on. There are advancements in the way that the databases were. If you're running on-premise on ECC6 using another vendor's database, okay, well, you're going to be moving to HANA, and HANA runs in a different way. It's real time. You're getting all these advanced analytics, but there are changes that have to be made in order to shift that. They're not simple lift and shift. You need a kind of consulting workforce. You need a skill set. And the majority of employers, I think I was reading something that was saying in America, it's between 50 and 60% of employers say that their workforce has adequate skills. Okay, that's a 40% of your workforce that does not have adequate skills. That's 40% of your workforce that needs these skills. That's a massive opportunity for students to get into the world and fill that 40%. And that 40% is only going to get bigger as the top end retires and takes them those skills away. So genuinely, it's an amazing time. I've got a little note here, and it's quite relevant that GPT came out in November 22, and 12 months later, it's reading, it's understanding language, it's speaking. The interaction that you have with it is far richer. We see companies like SAP embedding these large language models in the software. Where are we going to be in 12 months? Because this is only going to get faster. This is only going to get bigger more innovative and more exciting. So I do genuinely think you're either on board and taking advantage of it, or you're going to get left behind. Why not get on board? It's a fantastic opportunity.
All right, Steve, you sold me. I'm ready.
Yep.
So that I think that was a great primer on sort of like the what, the why, and the how to get started. So we're moving into 30 minutes now. I know your time is quite valuable, so I don't want to steal any more of it. Did you have any other final words of advice for our listeners, particularly to newcomers to the SAP ecosystem, people who are sort of on the fence or aren't sure if they should start learning?
It's a fantastic, it genuinely is a fantastic technology. I appreciate I'm in the SAP ecosphere. However, ignoring that, the majority of the world's business runs on SAP. So if you ignore SAP technology, you're ignoring opportunities within the majority of the world's business. Getting the learning isn't challenging in the sense that the resources are there, learning.sap.com. It's genuinely, it's a fantastic platform. The learning's wonderfully laid out. It's rich. There are various different mediums to cope with the people learning in different ways. Make yourself different. Ask yourself, challenge yourself. How are you any different from anybody else? Walk into your college, walk into your university, find a balcony, look over it, and look at everybody walking through the hall or the corridor, and ask yourself, how are you any different to any of those people? Make yourself different. Make yourself easy to hire. It's not a difficult thing to do. You can embrace learning.sap.com. You can embrace learning about the cloud, about data analytics, about artificial intelligence. The resources are out there, but it needs you to kind of stand up and embrace that. Nobody's going to spoon feed you this stuff. But if you recognize that and you elect to make yourself different, you elect to make yourself an easy hire by embracing this and getting this technology understanding, you're set for life. I can't put that any more plainly. You are genuinely set for life with a career which is applicable across the world. You can travel and go where you want and work in this technology.
Outstanding. Excellent words to close on, Steve. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you have any questions about this, drop by the Beginner Corner. Just Google it, Beginner Corner SAP Community. It'll pop up. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And until next time, keep learning. And yeah, that's basically it. Keep learning. Bye, everybody.
Take care. Ciao, ciao.